Today, I want us to talk about finding the miraculous in the ordinary. Finding the miraculous in the ordinary. Now, we've had two readings this morning, which I'm going to talk about. But you know, the traditional church in this country has not done us any favours in making the spiritual distant from the natural. They talk about making people saints or praying to saints who, in their terms, seem to be ridiculously holy. People that we could not even attain to be as holy as them. When actually, Paul addresses the church as saints. You, my good friends, are saints. And we need to remember that there is not a class of Christian that is exceedingly holy, a class of Christian that is able to operate in ways that are so close to God because they are so close to God. But actually, all there are ordinary Christians. I'm sorry to disillusion you if this has burst your bubble this morning, but I am not aware of any extraordinary Christians. I just know people. And some of those people follow Jesus Christ. Some of those people love the Lord their God with all of their hearts, their souls, their minds, and their neighbour as themselves. And these are people that we see in the New Testament, people who receive miracle after miracle. Sometimes the divine breaks through. What was the message that Jesus carried? What was the message that Jesus brought? It was, behold, the kingdom of heaven is near. God is near. The power of the kingdom, the one with the authority of the kingdom, is here, and the kingdom is here as well. And we this morning need to continue encouraging people to stretch out and to believe that the kingdom of God is near. We live in a time in history, in a tension between the kingdom being fully realized and the kingdom not being here. A time of tension when the kingdom of God has clearly not fully come. Because otherwise, Jesus would not have said to us, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come. You know, it's fairly obvious if you think about it. But we believe the kingdom of God can come. And that we can pray and the kingdom of God can break through into our reality. This which is natural, you know, there's the laws of physics are operating in this room this morning. The law of gravity is dragging your backside into the chair in which you sit. And the legs on that chair are fighting gravity and forcing your bottom up into the air. And it's just a simple reality. It's natural. It happens to us all. But the spiritual is also very real. We just sometimes, because we cannot see it, we ignore it. And if you think back, you know, we've just spent 10 sessions in Genesis and we go all the way back to Adam and Eve and it says their eyes were opened. When they sinned, their eyes were opened. And you have to ask yourself, what on earth does this mean? What does it mean that their eyes were opened? Does it mean they walked around with their eyes shut beforehand? I don't know, but it does mean definitely one thing, their sight became their prime sense. Everything they detected, they did not have, it seems, a little Geiger counter inside their heart going click, click, click when God was near, but instead they saw. And we have become a people who rely on our eyes. And we have neglected the spiritual. After that fairly long introduction, I have got 4 points for you this morning. The first point is about fishermen. Now, Peter was a fisherman. And when we say he was a fisherman, we don't mean he had a PhD in fisheries. We don't mean that he had worked his master's dissertation out while working on a salmon farm. And he had planned the breeding of these salmon. No, we're talking about a rough and ready fisherman who lived an ordinary life raising money for his family by fishing and selling the excess. And he lived a very ordinary life until one day when Jesus was passing by. Peter, probably one of the oldest of the disciples, was probably coming to the end of his teens when Jesus saw him. And he said, "Come, follow me. I'll teach you how to fish for men." And just that one sentence was enough to attract Peter so that he left his nets in his boat and came to follow Jesus. But today, I want us to consider these two miracles, one in Luke, one in Matthew, that we had read to us, that involve Peter and involve boats and involve water. Peter was nothing more or less than a fisherman. We talk about him as Saint Peter. We talk about him as the one who greets you as you enter into heaven. Something, of course, which is not biblical and bears no relationship to Christian doctrine. But he was a fisherman. He worked on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee had a certain reputation. It had a reputation for being calm one minute and to be in a terrible storm the next. And he knew this. He had worked on the sea all his life. He understood the sea. He understood fishing. This is why he took a bit of objection, really, when Jesus said to him, "Go back out. You haven't caught anything all night. That's fine. Go back out. You'll catch now." Peter knew he didn't catch fish at that time of day. He knew that. He knew where the fish were. He knew not to go various places because there were no fish. He knew to go other places where they were. And he had been out all night and caught nothing. So when Jesus says to him, "Launch out into the deep," and you'll have to forgive me, I am quoting the obsolete King James Version there. "Launch out into the deep." When Jesus says this to him, and he says, "Go out and get ready for a big catch," Peter knows that strange things happen at sea. I almost wondered whether or not I ought to have asked Jonathan if we could have sung "For Those in Peril on the Sea" this morning. But he knew the friends he'd lost on the Sea of Galilee. He knew to take a lot of care. He knew better than to take advice from someone without experience in these matters. But Jesus says to him, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Peter says to him, "We've worked all night long and caught nothing. So you know nothing, Jesus. Jesus, you don't know what you're on about." But because of the social pressures here, of the fact that some people seem to think something of you, and you're telling me to go out, because you've said that, I will. And that's the ordinary fisherman that we're talking about this morning. An ordinary guy, and he experiences the sea as an ordinary guy. My second point is catch. Getting back to this first reading, short of a miracle, there is no way that there is going to be food on the table at Peter's house today. He's not made any significant catch. When I say short of a miracle, of course, that is exactly what happened. A miracle. I have to ask you to try and put yourself in this story. Try and think of yourself as somebody there on the boat with Peter. Try and imagine what the experience must have been like. This rabbi from Nazareth, can any good thing come from Nazareth, comes past, and there, the tassels of his robes just caught in the wind, and he says, calls out to Simon Peter. And you say, why? Why does this religious guy want me? Why is he calling? And yet, there was this huge catch of fish. This catch of fish was so big that it needed two boats to land them. This is a big catch of fish. This is the sort of catch of fish that as a fisherman you live all your life hoping you're going to get. And what triggers this catch? The words of this religious guy from Nazareth, this rabbi, who says, launch out into the deep. And you go, yeah. So what? I have to ask you today, could you do with a catch? Could you? Could you do with a catch? Could you do with a miracle? How easy it would have been to have missed this miracle if Peter had have done what many of us would have done, which is to have said, oh, get on with you, go on, clear off, go down the road, talk to James and John. John's younger, he'll fall for it. We could have done, we could be like that. We could have had that attitude. Yesterday, I was driving the car down a road, and one side of the road was cars parked all the way, and the other side of the road, there is a parking bay, and there's a car in this parking bay, and he can see me coming, and when I'm almost on top of him, he pulls his car straight out in front of me, and there's nowhere for me to go. And he expects me to back up when he's the one who's pulled out in front of me. I had the right of way. And I thought, I'll tell this guy what for. I'll wind my window down. And then I thought, Stephen, just back up. What have you lost? What have you lost? What would you lose if you gave that guy a gobful? What would it cost you? So I gave way to him. And do you know what? I felt really good that I'd done that. If you would have felt really good for giving him a piece of your mind, then God have mercy on your soul. But you know, sometimes we need to do the thing which doesn't come naturally. For Peter, it didn't come naturally to listen to what Jesus said and to do what he said. But when he did what Jesus said, a miracle happened. And that's the message this morning, people, is when we do what Jesus says, we are opening the doors for a miracle. The spiritual breaks through into our natural. The kingdom of God comes into the kingdom of the United Kingdom and breaks through into our lives, and the miracles start to happen. I am so pleased this morning that Peter had this great, enormous catch, even though I wouldn't thank you for a plate of fish. Will you? The second story. The boat is a mile, over a mile, out into the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus walks on the water's surface to the boat. Now, those of you that are into superhero TV programs, the new superhero TV program at the moment is The Flash. Yep. And The Flash can run at incredible speeds. And in fact, he runs so fast, he can run across the surface of water because he puts so little weight on it because he's moving so quickly, he doesn't sink. Great bit of CGI. But Jesus isn't The Flash. Jesus isn't a superhero. Jesus is the Son of God who made the water. Everything in Genesis was made by the Word. Without him, nothing that was made has been made. Jesus made the water. And let me tell you something. Jesus knows how to walk on the surface of anything he's made. And Jesus walks over a mile on the surface of the water to the boat before they see him coming. And they're going, oh, 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 it's a ghost. Why would they do that? Well, these fishermen, I tell you, they're very superstitious. They really are. And there were some weird stories on the Sea of Galilee. Some really weird stories. But Peter says to him, Jesus, Jesus, if that's you, call me and I'll walk towards you. Now, come on here. This is balmy. This is totally balmy. Who do you know who's ever walked on the surface of water? Oh, Jesus, maybe. You know, Jesus, Son of God and all that. Yeah, okay. But a man? A man? He shouts out, Jesus, if it's you. Do you realise he isn't even quite convinced it's Jesus? There's a bit of doubt there. It's like the man who says, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus says a single word to him. He says, come. And Peter sinks without trace. And they have to dredge him up and pump him out. That's the story we got told as kids. But that's not what happened. Peter stepped out of the boat. Huh? It's solid. And he walked on the water towards Jesus. And he walked away on the water to Jesus. And then he started to look at the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his mind off the Word. Because Peter technically never walked on water. I'm waiting for weird expressions. You see, Peter technically walked on the Word. The Word came, come. Peter walked on the Word. It was the Word that held him up. And Peter walked on the Word until his attention was diverted from the Word. And at this time, he starts to sink. Notice, it doesn't say all of a sudden he went splash, boom. He started to sink. The water went up around his ankles. And the next step, it was up on his shins. And the next step, it was up on his knees. He was getting lower. He was getting lower. Still, the laws of nature weren't working properly for Peter. Because something spiritual was happening. Because the Word of God was there. And fortunately for Peter, the Word of God was so close by this time, he could reach out and say, hold on to me, Peter. We'll walk back to the boat together. And then, of course, Peter walked on water again. You know, we love, don't we, to shoot people down in flames. We love to talk about doubting Thomas. But we don't want to talk about his great missionary endeavours and the way he took the gospel to India. We don't want to talk about doubting Thomas. We ought to talk about believing Thomas. When he actually saw Jesus, he didn't need to put his hand in the fingerprint, in the holes in his hands and in the hole in his side. Because he knew he was wrong to even say that. And he became a great believer. So why do we make Peter out to be the guy who sank? Like, that's something special about that. We would all do that. We can all demonstrate it now. Let's get out on the ooze and see which of us don't sink. But Peter was the man who walked on water. Peter was the man who walked on the word of Jesus. A miracle happened in Peter's life when he listened to Jesus. Do you know something? I have to ask myself, would I genuinely have dared to have tried? I'm trying to be open with you this morning. Jonathan set an example for us about making ourselves vulnerable this morning. I'm making myself vulnerable now. I'm not sure that I would have tried. I would probably have just smiled sweetly at Jesus and watched him walking on the water and helped him in the boat. But Peter was gutsy. You can say a lot of things about Peter, but you have to admit this about him. He was a gutsy bloke. He's the bloke who on the day of Pentecost stands up and leads 3,000 people in the sinner's prayer. Peter was a gutsy bloke. And he got out that boat and walked towards Jesus. I have to ask you this morning, what will you do? You're in that position. What will you do? Will you take a chance on Jesus? You might say, well, it's not taking a chance on Jesus. Do you know something? Every time we take a step of faith, we are taking a chance on God. We're taking a chance on Jesus. Yes, I know he will not let us down. But naturally speaking, we are taking a chance on the spiritual. We're taking a chance on the kingdom of God. It's not roulette. It's not Russian roulette. It's not anything like that. But we are saying, I am going to take a chance now. I am going to believe the words of Jesus. And that's how a miracle happens. Will you? Will you take a chance on Jesus this morning? Will you? That's got to be the question we have to answer today. If Jesus were to invite you now, would you stay in the boat or will you walk? So, my last point is launch. We had to fit the space shuttle in here somewhere. Oh, it is not a space shuttle. I'm sorry, it's an Atlas rocket. Where will we encounter miracles? You might say, oh, brother, it's in the pages of my Bible. Hallelujah, brother. It's in the Bible here. I open my Bible and there's miracle after miracle after miracle. There are 7 miracles in John's Gospel. Luke's got more. There's all these miracles. It's great. I find them in my Bible. Well, that's not really the answer I'm looking for. Where will you find a miracle? When you step out of the boat. When you step out of the boat, you will find a miracle. You see, the boat's safe. I'm all right in the boat. Although I'm at the mercy of the elements. I watched The Life of Pi the other night with my wife. I fell asleep in the middle. But I did see the bit where the hyena on the boat is so seasick it throws up all over the bottom of the boat. And I thought, oh, I want to turn this off now. And that's, I think, when I went to sleep. But you are at the mercy of the elements. But we're used to the natural things, aren't we? We're not really used to the supernatural things. Will you step out of the boat? You see, the only place you will ever find a miracle is where you live, where you work. in the spheres in which you move. Knowing the people in your street. The only place you will ever experience a miracle is where you are. And the only way you will ever experience that miracle is if you will take a chance on the word of God. If you will step out of the boat in faith and say, Jesus, I'm coming. Could you do that? You know, I don't think actually the right question is, could you do that? The right question this morning is, will you do that? Because this is actually a function of your will. This is about choice. This is about accepting what God is saying to you, what Jesus is calling to you, and taking a chance that you can step from the natural to the spiritual. Remember, you will never know if your parachute will work by staying on the ground. You will only know if it works if you leap out of an aeroplane. And that is how faith works. When you expose yourself to God and say, here I am, God, I am now throwing myself on you. If you will let Jesus direct your occupation, your boat, you'll have a great catch. You will receive what you need. If you listen to him and do what he says. If, however, you think, I'm not sure if that's God speaking to me. I'm not sure. I'll get another two people to counsel me. I'll open my Bible. Hang on a minute. Do not try to comfort me about the destruction of my dear people. Oh, obviously that was wrong. I'll think about the destruction of people now. If you just stick your finger in your Bible, that will not help you. But if today you will take the choice to believe what God is saying and launch out your boat into the unknown, you can receive a miracle. If today you will get out of the boat and walk to him who you can see is walking on the surface of the water, if you are prepared to do as he does, you will receive your miracle. And the only learning point, the only reason it tells us about Peter starting to sink, is that the learning point for us there is not to take our eyes off Jesus. You might say to me today, Stephen, well, that's all very interesting. You've presented that quite well. But what on earth are you really on about? Let me tell you what I'm on about. In your ordinary life, as ordinary people, you need something extraordinary. You have needs. You need a miracle. You need a touch from God. You need the spiritual in your natural. You need the extraordinary in your ordinary. You need to find a miracle in the ordinariness of your life. And the only way you're going to do that is listen to God and do what he says. And when he challenges you to do something extraordinary, do it. When I was 33 or something like that, God challenged me to take a hammer to church and a plastic bag, my two pairs of spectacles, and my two pairs of soft contact lenses. And he challenged me to stand at the front of the church and tear the contact lenses in half, and then to take off the pair of glasses I was wearing and put them in the bag with the other pair and smash them to bits with the hammer. It was balmy. It was absolutely balmy. But God had challenged me to do it. And I said when I'd done it, let's see if God heals. Because I'd got 23 miles to drive home. And I couldn't see the bonnet without my spectacles, let alone the road. The rest is history. I stand before you today with a pair of eyes that the optician said only a month ago, you've got very good vision for your age, Mr. Redman, which I ignored the bit about your age. And I rejoiced in the bit, you've got good vision. You know, when I go into the pound shop and look at those reading glasses that are for sale, I can't buy a pair for a pound because my arms are not quite long enough to need these £1 reading glasses because my prescription is 0.75 and they don't make cheap glasses for that. If you want a pair, you've got to buy one. Which means even now, I do need a little bit for reading because my arms are slightly too short. Even now, it's not common. It's not rare. It's rare. I have very, very good vision. And in fact, unless I'm reading some of my academic books with the tiny footnotes, I still don't need reading glasses. And that's something that's changed in my eyes in the last three years. But even so, that miracle I can still tell you about because I can walk out of here. Well, firstly, I can see where the toilet is. Which that's a huge step forward for me. I know where I am. I can see you in the distance. You know, the day was, I would never have known it was Karen sat on the back row. I would never have known. Without my spectacles. Thank you, Karen, for slapping Bill. God will bless you for that. You know what I'm saying? It's absolutely amazing. I still look. That's why we're going to still be thanking God for a long time for this screen and projector that he's given us. Because I have been here for the months when we haven't had it. And I thank God that we got the gift which made this all possible. Thank God. And I am still thanking God that I can see. Do you know sometimes I wake up in the morning and I still reach out my hand to my bedside table to pick up my spectacles. I did it for so many years, I'm still doing it. Over 20 years since I did that. And I still do it automatically when I wake up sometimes. But when I do that, I suddenly remember, oh God, you heal me. It's so wonderful. And you know when you wake up in the morning at this time of year and it's bright and it's colourful and you can stick your head out the curtains and you can see a lovely morning and you think, oh God, I'm so glad I can see this. You know, I wish I could say to you that has happened to me every day of my life. But I could give you a list. But the reality is I have not brought a miracle into my life every day. Although I am guilty sometimes of not regarding small miracles in the fullness of what they are. Because actually, God does much for me on a weekly basis. Some things I have not always regarded with such weight. But this morning, will you launch out? Do you know what? We're going to pray in a moment. And I'd like someone now just to tell the kids' church to come back in. But when we pray, I want you to understand this. Only you can make the step. You see, I can get out of that boat this morning, but it doesn't help you. Only you getting out of the boat will help you. I could launch out my boat today to go and get a catch, but unless you launch out your boat, you'll have to buy from my surplus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's up to your choice this morning. It's up to you to believe. Let me tell you what I believe about Jesus. I believe he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe he has all authority in heaven and on earth. I believe he is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we ask or imagine. I believe that Jesus is Lord of all, has all power, all authority, and can bring your miracle into your reality right now where you are. But do you? You can say, well, I've got about that much faith, I reckon. Well, good news. Great news for you this morning. Because the Bible says you only need faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And that's only that size. So if you've got that little faith today, why not reach out to God and receive according to your faith? Perhaps we could bow our heads. Father, this morning we come to you, a people in need. Lord, we need you. We're a people looking to you. Lord, we're not looking here to sell miracles. We're not looking here to offer things that can't be available anywhere else. We're just recognizing this morning that we're ordinary people and that actually you want to make the supernatural ordinary in our natural. So, Lord, we're offering ourselves right now and we're saying, as you direct us now, we are going to step out into this aisle and walk up this aisle and receive a miracle. And, Lord, we're believing right now that as we step out towards you, you will hold us up. That you will give us a great catch. Whatever our need is this morning, we offer it to you. And we say, Lord, now we receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.